Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. So a big day yesterday here in the UK as Chancellor Hammond released his first budget. What do you make of it? As a self-employed person, I imagine you're not happy.
Well, barely self-employed. I think that the tax, I think it was actually, they broke a manifesto promise with it.
Which Cameron actually made into a law. So I think they might actually overturn this because it's not met with a lot of favourable responses. The Daily Mail, all the sort of Tory papers are dead against it. And it's actually The Guardian that's come out and saying that Chancellor's been quite brave. So that's not a good sign, I think.
I mean, I don't like the hitting the entrepreneurs and hitting the middle classes, which is, you know, basically that's their people. I'm not quite sure what the strategy is there. This seems to be in that way more of a Labour government than a Tory one. So maybe that's the real
takeaway.
That's what
he's being criticised for. But he's saying it's just not fair that these people aren't paying the same. It's about national insurance, isn't it? So they will, if you're over that sort of threshold, you might be paying about £260 more a year. But we'll see how it plays out.
Well, I don't pay any national insurance. I don't care. My strategy there.
Okay, so talking of chancellors, we're going to start with UK Osborne to reap $790,000 from 48 days work for BlackRock. That's according to Bloomberg. This translates about 4 days a month as an advisor on the BlackRock board. What do you make of that? Do you think he's worth the money?
Well, normally I'd say good luck to anybody who managed to wangle a deal like that. But the problem with this is, I think you've got this with the political class in general, that you can sort of see that once they get into power, they're just biding their time in order to wait for the book deal or the fund management role or the token appointment in some big company. And I think that colours the fact that many don't do anything at all when they're in power. And that's what you can see with people like Osborne.
But do you think they actually are worth the money in terms of knowledge they bring? Or do you think they're more of like a mascot? Like you have John Major, who's with Credit Suisse, to just sort of add that air of authenticity.
Yes, because John Major did such a good job with the economy, with the ERM debacle and stuff like that. Definitely somebody to have on your board.
Well, let's see how, anyway, Osborne does with BlackRock. OK, so George Osborne used Chancellor Hammond's budget speech to slip into the register of members' financial interests that he'll be on the payroll of asset management giant BlackRock. For an estimated 4 days' work per month, he'll be paid £650,000, which works out at £13,540 per day. The FT also reports that last year he pocketed £786,450 from speeches, including at JP Morgan's New York head office and to Lloyds Bank. Well, I'm surprised that I think £786,000 is quite low. I would have thought he'd make more out of speeches, but he was only the number two. So
That's a possibility. I think the other thing is that, just to get into perspective, most of the guests I think who come on Tip TV's show could do that job equally well, probably for a hundredth of the price, and be quite happy about it, and actually serve BlackRock or JP Morgan quite well.
Okay, next slide. So Salesforce remains a favourite among cloud stocks in 2017. We're talking Nimble, is that right?
We're talking, yes, a company. Well, the last thing I heard from Salesforce is it was possibly buying Twitter. But it's I think it is a growing area, and cloud stocks, although there used to be a bit of a buzzword 2 or 3 years ago, it has become a standard in this area. So I think Salesforce is the sector leader.
There you go. Moving on. So data published overnight show that Chinese producer prices rose by 7.8% in the year to Feb, following on from Jan's 6.9% rise, the fastest pace in nearly 9 years. However, these cost increases have not trickled into consumer prices, which rose only 0.8% over the same period. So what's your thoughts on that, Zach?
I think that, well, it's interesting that there's the same kind of problem in China as there is happening over here, that on the producer side, prices are going up a lot. Retailers are forced to decide whether to cut margins or what to do. But I think there's a problem there. You just can't have that bottleneck of inflation being resisted for much longer. So there is a problem, you know, in that 6 months, 6 months to a year, China's going to have an inflation problem, as we're going to have probably in the West as well.
Okay, next slide. So the economic calendar and all eyes are on the ECB. We've got the deposit rate decision, monetary policy statement and press conference, and Draghi will be speaking. So what are you looking forward to out of this set?
I'm looking for him probably to resist the hawks, in the sense that after 8-9 years of this easy money policy, it's actually starting to work, or it looks as though it's starting to work, and I think he should actually allow inflation to maybe overshoot in the Eurozone because it's just been so deflationary for so long.
Okay, next slide. So the FX sentiment, what's catching your eye?
Catching my eye there, people are short up to the eyeballs of euro sterling, which actually is going the other way. It's heading towards 86, 87 at the moment. Pound very weak. I'm not quite sure why it's so weak, in fact. I mean, it's around 121.40 at the moment, so that is a bit strange. But in fact, going on the other side of that, pound dollar, people are very long of sterling, so they clearly believe that towards $1.20 is the buying zone. I'm not quite sure whether that's going to prove to be the case. Otherwise, interest there is that dollar yen is rising quite sharply at the moment towards around the 114 mark, but people are just basically 50-50 on that. So they're going more bullish. Let's see if the trend, the new trend continues.
Yeah. Okay, so our trade of the day.
Looks like this is flattening here, the Goldman Sachs, over the last few sessions. Exhaustion gap possibly there through £2.50. I think the moral of the story there is that even though we've got a technical sell here and an objective of 230, we haven't really seen any proper pullback in any of the major stocks over the recent past. And obviously, Goldman Sachs is a key friend and a beneficiary of the Donald Trump regime and the deregulation of the banking system. So I'm not sure whether the downside there will be as much as people may be looking for.
Okay, so moving on, broker recommendations and a busy chart there.
Obviously the recent bearish news on Amaral Group and the rising insurance payments there causing a mixed picture with the brokers, one overweight, going overweight from neutral and one on underperform. Probably one would still go for the underperform. Restaurant Group restructuring there and jobs being cut. A new CEO, so we'll see what happens there, but still neutral there from JP Morgan and a buy at Liberum, so they're taking the bright side of that potential restructuring. And then Burberry, in honour of you as a fashion expert and icon, whether you agree with the overweight stance of Barclays Capital.
Well, I think Burberry's doing better anyway because lots of Chinese buyers and Asian buyers are coming back, and I think that's predominantly where their market is because they suffered quite badly with certain celebrities that sort of wore their clothes a lot, and that pulled the brand down a few years back. But now, I think it's on the way up again. Hopefully, a great British brand.
Well, we need all the great British brands to work, so let's see how that goes.
Right, Zach, thank you. Well, coming up next, our proactive investor shares of the day.